Welcome back to The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. Well, local parkite Amy McDonald joins us now in the studio. Amy is embarking on a month-long humanitarian project in a remote area of Nepal. She'll be bringing 1,000 women's, well, along with other people too, I'm sure, 1,000 women's hygiene kits to young women in a very remote area. She joins us to talk about her upcoming efforts and why she got involved. Amy McDonald, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on today.
Boy, talking about the mountain life, you're going into some serious mountains on this trek. And it must be so remote because I know you're going by either horseback or on foot to take these women's hygiene kits. Talk about how remote it is.
Well, this is an incredible trip. It's hosted by the Upaya Zen Center in New Mexico by Roshi Joan Halifax, who's been doing it for 2 decades. And my brother happens to be the medical director, and he's talked about this for years. So there is a need in the remote area of Dopo, I hope I'm saying it correctly, of Nepal. It's the most impoverished area. And there's a 50% infant mortality rate, 25% maternal mortality rate. And what happens is women have no way to handle their periods. And so it's an oppression of sorts. They have to stay home. They have to wrap layers of clothing around themselves. It's uncomfortable. Their skin breaks down. They can't go to school. They can't travel. They can't work. And so with a woman's hygiene kit, there is no waste. There's no environmental damage because it's all with fabric and you can reuse it. And one kit will last for 2 years. And it allows us to basically bring some independence to the women in these remote areas. And also we bring health practitioners, Western health practitioners, as well as traditional Nepalese practitioners. So they get classes on fertility, hygiene, health care. In addition to regular medical care, we also take birthing kits. And I, along because of my work with Brahli Arts and with the environment, I'm in charge of all the cultural activities, and it's really empowering for women and children to express themselves visually in a movement way about who they are and what's important. So there's a level of empowerment, of independence, and statement of identity. And yeah, we go for a month and we carry everything and on our backs and off we go.
Is there a stigmatization that occurs with these women when they don't have the hygiene kits? They don't have that option. They don't have sort of what we take for granted in more developed parts of the world. And I know you talked about a lot of the health issues, and those are obviously very the most important. But I have to believe there's also they become stigmatized through generations of not having, you said freedom, you know, it empowers and freedoms and creates a space of freedom. So the opposite of that would be you don't have it and there's a stigma that would be attached to that, I think.
You're exactly right, because if you think about it, if you can't sustain a job, if you can't go to school, you don't have any influence or seniority, nor do you have any access to opportunity.
Would those options be available?
Yes.
Okay,
so what's really interesting, too, is a woman who's coming with us, and she just had a baby, Pasang Lama Sherpa. She is Nepal's first professional female mountaineering guide, and she has sort of changed that story because she is the first to lead mountaineering trips, and she was very present in 2015 with the avalanche, and instead of running away from the avalanche at the base of Everest, she and her husband raised $750,000 and paid for people to build in trails, take food, take supplies, find people that didn't have access to help. And her country gave her an award, and National Geographic gave her the Explorer of the Year award. And so the power of the woman is slowly changing, and she goes on these treks, and she is well regarded and well respected, and she can be a role model as well as an interpreter during the clinics and lessons. So slowly but surely.
That's a wonderful story. Also, this project is enabling women. Is it in Kathmandu? Is it to build these kits? So it's employing or creating employment.
So we're really careful. You know, when you bring change to a place, you better know what you're doing, because you're affecting cultural mores and things like that, but to empower women with a profession or a job that is sustainable feels really exciting. So it's women only that will make the hygiene kits, and that can go on in Kathmandu, and that is something that is replenishable, sustainable. And then the demand for these kits has just skyrocketed, because this year we'll get 1,000, and then there's already demand for 1,000 for next year.
Wow. It's just phenomenal to me. We in the first world think of menstruation as a real pain. And how often have we said, oh, it's just not fair. We go through this. Men don't have to. And yet it is minuscule, our inconvenience, compared to these women. I mean, their whole lives. Have they done this project before? Have they taken some kits in previous to this, or is this the first time? Have they had other humanitarian efforts that have given them these kits?
So last year, a few went in, and then this spring, 600 went in. And so the outcry for help, please bring them, from all the women is now overwhelming. So we're doing our best to get them there as fast as we can. And where we're going, you just can't get there unless you carry it by foot or horse. And so to make and deliver, you know, there's a downtime for that. So you're doing it, and then you have to raise the money to get the supplies.
What does a kit look like?
It looks like an oversized pair of panties, kind of. I mean, larger, not like thongs that we wear. But let's say high-rise panties, and there's a pocket in the crotch area. So the pad that's made out of fabric gets inserted there. So when it's used, you take it out and you can rinse it and wash it and reuse it. And so what we've learned is one kit, per se, lasts up to 2 years. So and we put a price of $12 on it, because we have to pay people that carry it to get it in there, and then we pay the women to make it.
And talk about the funding. How does that all come together?
Well, we are raising it by the good graces of everybody. Brawley Arts, my nonprofit, I've offered that up as a way for people to funnel money through. So I don't take any percentage of it, 100% of any donation through Brawley Arts. I give directly to the project. The Upaya Zen Center is a nonprofit and also taking donations. And then we send the money forward so that these kits can be pre-made, so that by the time we get there in September, they're made and we can then deliver them.
What's the common ground between a Zen center and an arts foundation and hygiene kits?
Well, for Brawley Arts, so Brawley is a British slang term for umbrella. It's an inclusive umbrella arts organization. And for me personally, as the founder and director, I'm very passionate about the environment, human rights, and the role that arts and culture can play in awareness building around ideas, issues, and places. And so I think with the Upaya Zen Center, that is based on Roshi Joan Halifax's philosophy of social activism, human rights, compassion, there's a lot of common ground.
Very nice. Amy McDonald, Brawley Arts. And tell us how you can find, if you'd like to donate.
Thanks, Lynn. Yes, if you are interested in helping us with this, you go to Brawley Arts, brawleyarts.org/Nepal. All the information and the way to donate is right there.
And when do you leave?
September 15th.
Excellent. So you've got a few months to raise some money.
And yep, we're well on our way, and any help is very much appreciated.
Excellent. Amy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks.